This anointed teaching by Apostle Theo Vollmerens comes to you from Christian Family Church International.
Father, we thank you for your word here this morning as I come to teach or make it known that I'm not trusting or depending on limited human abilities to teach, but I am depending on you. And therefore, I know without doubt that you anoint my mind that I might grasp the revelation that will rise in abundance from my heart within. Thank you now for supernatural recall of the scripture. And I believe that your word will flow from my mouth smoothly, accurately, clearly, without hindrance from anything, carried by your anointing, your power, and your love to each person's mind, bringing understanding, removing all confusion. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that's revealed in the couple is through your word and by your spirit here today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Can I have a little more monitor, please, and some water, thank you, to drink. And you may give somebody a high five. In fact, give a few people a high five. Don't just sit down now. Don't just sit down. Make sure folks feel welcome. And it's no use high-fiving your husband or your wife. You should have done that by now. Now, this morning's message is one of great encouragement to us as we celebrate this most important day in the history of the human race, the day that God died on the cross to save us. And my title is, Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You may want to take notes because you're going to hear some things here today that are extremely powerful and you'll want to remember it, I can assure you. And this is not streamed live today. Not streamed live. So this is it, right? Right here. Open your Bible to Colossians 1, verse 16. I hope you have your Bible with you. Those who bring their Bibles will find themselves growing spiritually much faster. Much faster. And if you can write in your Bible, you'll grow even faster still. That's the truth. That's not just a preaching. That's the truth. And if you cannot write in your Bible, throw it away, get a good one. My Bible's out there. And you can go get a good one. Amen. King James, New 2000. All right, you got it? Colossians 1:16. If you haven't got it, then just look at the person next to you and give up. For by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. So folks wonder who Jesus is. Well, the Bible says by Christ, everything was created. All things that are in heaven, all the stars, God's heaven, and everything on earth. Not only that you can, not only physical dimension, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Can you imagine that? Thrones were created by him. All things were created through Christ. All things. That means nothing that exists was created by anybody else. All things were created through Christ, and they were created for Christ. So that everything in creation was created for Christ. Again, everything in creation was created for Christ. Do you understand that? Everything. Verse 17, and Christ is before all things. Before anything existed, he was there. And in him, all things exist. In Christ, all things exist. In other words, nothing would stay as it is if it wasn't getting its energy and its life from Christ continually. Everything that you see is made of atoms and protons and neutrons, and these tiny molecules keep moving. They've got energy of itself. Its own energy. It just keeps moving. Everything is moving. Everything. The whole universe is created like that. And all those atoms that, and those molecules and tiny fragments of matter that keep moving are moving by the energy provided continually by Christ. And everyone that hates God is kept alive by the life and energy of Christ now. Don't understand that. And they're one beat away, heartbeat away from eternity. They are one heartbeat away from the fires of hell. But we're talking about Jesus. Worthy is our Lamb. He is the center of all creation. Jesus is the reason all things were created. Now go to Ephesians 1, verse 9. Ephesians 1, verse 9, and I'm going to use the NIV translation here. God made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, that is, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. The Father, God's eternal plan. This is all God the Father's eternal plan. Everything that Christ did was the plan of the Father. And the Father's eternal plan is to bring all heaven and earth under one head, under one Lord, and that is Christ. For Him to be the supreme Lord over all things. Our purpose, therefore, as believers in this life, is to bring everything on earth into line with the will of Christ, because that's the plan of God, and that should be our heart desire. God's plan should be our heart's desire. To bring everything on earth into line with the will of Christ. Everything must be brought into harmony with Christ. So that everything must be brought into harmony with the will of Christ. That's our purpose, because that's God's purpose. Every lost soul, every action on earth, and every thought of man should be brought into harmony with the purpose of Christ. Every thought of man, of all men. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. The Bible said, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, cast it down, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that God said, He has given us the ability, the tools, the weapons in Christ, to bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Every thought we think, we have the tools to bring those thoughts into harmony with the purpose and plan of Jesus. That no thought would be outside of that realm. That's what's available to you and me here. Casting down arguments and every hard thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you know, today, the spirit of Antichrist is trying to outlaw the Bible and free speech and anything you say about King Jesus. But he won't succeed. He's not going to succeed. No. I read the end of the book. I've got news for you. We win. And the devil is locked up in the fires of hell for eternity, along with the Antichrist and the false prophet. The ultimate purpose of all of this is that all people may honor and worship Jesus to the glory of God the Father. So, the ultimate purpose of all of this is so that all people would honor Jesus and worship Jesus for the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So what was his attitude? Look at verse 6. We're in Philippians chapter 2. All there in the New Testament, right next to each other. Christ, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. And being found in appearance as a man. Found, you could say, he discovered that he was in the appearance of a man. What's that mean? Well, you see, Christ, the eternal Son who created everything, agreed to take on humanity and become a man to die in our place. And so he left heaven, entered the womb of Mary, and was born as a man, laid aside his godly powers. And when he was born as a baby, he didn't know who he was. He laid aside every memory of his past existence. And he had to begin learning from the scriptures and being led by the Holy Ghost to discover who he was. And he did, obviously. He did. As he laid aside everything to become a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted Jesus, the man, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Therefore, God highly exalted Jesus, the man, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Christ has always been in existence and is equal with the Father, except in rank. But when he became a man, as a man, he earned the right to be exalted, and God gave him a name as a man above every name, so that, the next verse says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. At the sound of that name, every demon bows. I've seen it over and over again. No demon can stand before that name. Every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's God's will that Christ be formed in you and in me. Romans 8:29 tells us, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So God predestined that we would be formed into the image and likeness of Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn. Now, he wasn't the first one born in the flesh like Adam and Eve and all those. Well, Adam wasn't born, nor was Eve. But so many from them were born. That's not talking about his natural birth. It's talking about he being born again when he came back to life from the dead. He was the first one born again from the dead, just like we have been. Why? That he might become our brother, and we are his brother. So Jesus is our elder brother, and his father is our father. We are one family. Such is the magnificent, indescribable grace and mercy and plan of our Father. It will take us all eternity to fully grasp the magnitude of his grace and what he's given to us as his children. If only we could grasp a fraction of that understanding now, we'd live in this world like conquerors and kings, unafraid of anything. It's God's plan that we, along with Jesus, become brothers and sisters of a wonderful family where God is our Father. Romans 8:30. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So we have been glorified through the born again experience. Now, when Jesus came to the earth, he could have moved mountains around. He could have raised all the dead back to life. He could have done that. He could have said, I want to prove that I am the creator of all things, which he is. He said, you see that mountain? I'm going to move it there. And this mountain, I'm going to move it over there. Watch, everybody. To prove he's the creator. He could do that. He could do that. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He could raise every dead person from the dead. He could have said, okay, watch everybody, I want to prove that I am the creator, I am the Messiah, watch, I'm going to raise everybody from the dead, and they all would have come back to life. He could have done that. He's the creator of all things, right? He would have proved that he's the creator without a problem by doing that. And everybody would have immediately believed that he was the creator if he did that. The whole world would have made him their king. No doubt about it. They would have made him their king if he had done that. So the question I ask you this morning, dear child of God, is why would he do that? And why would they have made him king? Why, if he did that, would they make him king? Why? I have three recommendations or suggestions as to why, if he did that, they would make him king. The first one, I think, is because they would fear him. They would fear him. No doubt about it. They would fear him and make him king. The second possibility is they would be overwhelmed by what he did, raising all the people from the dead and moving mountains around. They'd be overwhelmed, and so they'd make him their king. The second idea I have, or reason I think, is they would admire him. They would admire him. Wow. There's no one greater than him. We must make him king. They admire him. I think that's all reasonable assessments. But my next question is, would they trust him? Would they be able to trust him completely if that's the way he went about it, his earthly life? Would they be able to trust him? And the third question I have is, would they love him completely? Would they love him completely if he proved himself by moving everything around and raising the people from the dead? Would they be able to love him completely? But if he did that to prove himself, that's the way he went about things. I don't know. I don't think so. Jesus didn't come to demonstrate his power. He came to demonstrate his love for us. He came to demonstrate his love for us. Because it was his love that healed the lame, opened the blind eyes, and the deaf ears. The Bible said he was moved with compassion and pity for them, and he healed them. Wasn't to demonstrate his power, it was because he couldn't help himself, it was his love that drove him to help people that were hurting. Again, it was his love that drove him to the cross to take our place. It was his love for us that drove him to the cross to take our punishment for our sins, to go to hell in our place, to take our flames so we don't have to. It was his love for us that kept him there. He could have called thousands or, yea, millions of angels to rescue him at any moment, but he never did. He bore the pain and the suffering, knowing that we would be free, sitting here today, worshiping him. That's what was on his mind, was his love for us. And the result of that is now we love him. We love him first. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Galatians 5 verse 6 says, faith which worketh by love. See, faith works by love, the Bible said. Love is the petrol of your faith engine. Say that, love is my petrol for my faith engine. Because we know how much God loves us, we believe in him. Because we know how much God loves us, we have faith in God. Because we know how much God loves us, we know he will care for us. He will look after us. Because we know he loves us. We know he'll look after us. We know we can trust him. We can trust him. Say this, because I know he loves me, I know he has forgiven me of all my sins. Because I know he loves me, he will protect me from all danger. Because I know he loves me, he will meet all my financial needs. Because I know he loves me, he will help me take care of my family in every way. Because he loves me, I trust him. Because he loves me, he will not disappoint me. Amen. And because he loves me, I will worship him. I'll worship Jesus, who is the reason for all creation, for the glory of God the Father. Praise his name. Praise his wonderful name. Now, dear child of God, this was or is, the day we celebrate the day he died for us. And how grateful we are. But Sunday is the day we celebrate the fact that he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And so Sunday morning, I have a very powerful, special message about the resurrection of Jesus. It's going to inspire you and fill you with faith and joy. Don't miss Sunday morning. Bring everybody with you. If you have to take a parachute to come, do it. If you have to catch a train, a bus, a rickshaw, for those of you that are old or limited, you'll know what a rickshaw is. So we don't have them anymore. We used to have rickshaws in Durban. I used to love riding rickshaws when I was a kid. A lot of fun. But whatever you have to take to get you on Sunday, please come to worship Jesus, to celebrate his goodness, and really be inspired with a powerful message about the resurrection of our Lord. Amen? All right, thank you. And then next weekend, now there's no service Sunday night, so come on Sunday morning. We have two services at 8:30 and at 10:30. I got that wrong last weekend. And I'll be preaching both services Sunday morning. Now, the following weekend, I'll be speaking as well. It'll be our last time while we're here. But we're going to have a special Holy Ghost meeting. There's going to be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the meeting. Now, the Bible said, God said, I'll come to you like the rain. I'll come to you like the former and the latter rain. And the Bible said, in the last days, I'll pour out like rain, my spirit upon all flesh. There's going to be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God here that Sunday, which is the 7th of April. Don't miss it. Come and get wet. Come and get wet. Come and get wet. And you're not going to get wet watching online. You're not going to get wet watching online. You're going to get wet in here. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. How many people here today would say, Dr. Theo, I just don't know where I'm going when I die. I just don't know where I'm going. I'm lost. I feel lost. I don't want to wake up in the fires of hell. I want to go to heaven, but I just don't know if I'm going. Can you help me? Yes, I can. I'm so glad you came, because we will help you today. So while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if you'll put your hand up and I see it and Jesus sees it, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if you'll put your hand up, I'll see it and I'm going to pray a prayer from the platform here. And I'll pray for everybody sitting down there, have their hands raised. And when I pray that this special prayer, God will speak to your heart today, right in your seat, and let you know that you are accepted to be his child, that he forgives you for all of your sins, and that you will go to heaven one day. He'll give you that clear confidence, assurance in your seat right now. And you'll go home a different person today. You'll go home with a spring in your step. You'll go home with freedom and joy in your heart. This is your day. This special Easter Friday is the day that you meet your Creator, who created you and everything else. Right in your seat. I'm going to count to three. Slip your hand up as I count to three. Are you ready? I'm counting. And Jesus is waiting. He's watching. Are you ready? One, two, three. Thank you. I see those hands raised all over. All over, I see hands raised. All over, I see hands raised. Here I am, Apostle Theo. Please remember me in your prayer. I need the assurance of my eternal salvation. Thank you. I see those hands. Keep them raised, please. I'm going to pray now, and I'm inviting special workers who are trained to put their hand on your shoulder to let you know that we love you and that Jesus loves you while I pray. So they just rest their hand on your shoulder to let you know that Jesus loves you while I pray this special prayer for you. Okay? I'm going to pray now. And I invite everybody to say the prayer with me, especially all of you that have your hands raised. I invite everybody to say this little prayer. Let's talk to God from the heart now this morning. Let's talk to God from the heart now. Are we ready? Let's pray. Dear God, let's try that again. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cruel cross in my place. It should have been me on that cross for all of my sins, but Jesus went in my place and you punished him instead of me. Thank you, Jesus. So I can ask you, Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Accept me as your child. Thank you, Jesus. I declare you are the Lord of my life. From this moment, I will live for you, Jesus, with all of my heart. With every fiber of my being, I will serve you, Jesus, until I see you on that wonderful day in heaven. Praise God. I am forgiven. I am God's child. I'm bound for heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Praise God. I'm saved. God is my Father. I'm God's child. Praise Jesus.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za. Or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.